We did. Good morning. Excuse me, I guess it's afternoon now because it is a minute after noon. The Health and Human Services Committee will come to order. Members, please take your seats. Remember to turn on your microphone when answering roll call so that Cheryl and I can hear you. And so Cheryl, please call the roll.
Chair Barton?
Here.
Representative Altman is excused. Representatives Benjamin?
Here.
Botana?
Here.
Caruso?
Here.
Davis? Duran?
Here.
Garrison?
Here.
Grant?
Here.
Coster?
Here.
Masullo?
Here.
Mello?
Here.
Persons Mullica?
Here.
Rayner?
Here.
Rizzo?
Here.
F. Robinson?
Here.
W. Robinson?
Here.
Cerulli?
Here.
Skidmore?
Here.
Tant?
Present.
Yarborough? A quorum is present.
Thank you, Cheryl. Members, just our regular reminder to please silence your cell phones. Here, I'll do mine first. There we go. I'm done. Please silence your cell phones. And also, as a reminder, following House protocol, I'm going to ask everybody to remember to please wear your mask during the meeting. Little housekeeping note, we are going to temporarily postpone House Bill 309. And now we are ready to begin our agenda. We will begin with CS for CS for HB 515 by Representative Mariano. Representative Mariano, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Chair Burton, members of the committee. Today I have House Bill 515 relating to duties of the Attorney General. This bill seeks to clean up old and obsolete functions of the Office of the Attorney General, ensures the Crime Compensation Trust Fund can be self-sufficient, and extends the Attorney General's ability to use de-identified PDMP data in her opioid litigation. The main sections of the bill accomplish the following: seeks to remove obsolete language, which makes the Attorney General and the official reporter of the Florida Supreme Court; removes the Department of Legal Affairs from the review of small restitution claims received by other agencies. This new language allows for the claims to be processed in the agency responsible for the person. Seeks to eliminate the obsolete and unfunded language of the Safe Neighborhood Improvement District Program in relation to the duties assigned to the Department of Legal Affairs. This will not affect current or future Safe Neighborhood Improvement District programs. Exempts the Crimes Compensation Trust Fund from the general revenue surcharge, ensuring the solvency of the fund and allowing more money to help victims of crime. Establishes a default rule that the price gouging statute remains in effect for the initial 60-day period of the declared state of emergency and can be extended if the executive order specifically references Section 501.160 FS. This would permit the governor to extend the period if needed due to unique circumstances of the emergency. Shifts the responsibility of overseeing the Convenience Business Security Act to the Department of Business and Professional Regulation. And members, 2 years ago, I passed House Bill 1253 that allowed the Attorney General to use this de-identified PDMP data for her opioid litigation, and that was set to sunset this year. This extends that sunset to 2023. This is needed for their current litigation. There's a court date in April of 22 relating to the opioid crisis. If this sunset is not extended, the current data would be inadmissible in court. That is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Thank you. Members, do we have any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing no questions. Representative Mariano, I see you have an amendment. So please explain amendment barcode number 566249.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment would allow the governor to extend the price gouging statute as long as necessary and gets rid of the 120-day cap as currently drafted in the bill. That is the amendment.
Great. Any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. We are now in public testimony on the bill as amended. Do we have any public testimony on the bill? We have Daniel Olson, Office of the Attorney General, waves in support. Thank you, Mr. Olson. And we have Jake Farmer, Florida Retail Federation, who waves in support. Any addition? That's all we have. Any debate on the bill? Okay. Seeing no debate, Representative Mariano, would you like to close on your bill?
I will waive close, Madam Chair.
Cheryl, please call the roll on CS for CS for HB 515 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Fertana?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Davis? Durian?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Foster?
Yes.
Masulo?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Persons Milica?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Cervelli?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarborough? Chair Burton?
Yes.
18 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
All right, members, next on our agenda, we will hear CS for HB 701 by Representative Stevenson. Representative Stevenson, you are recognized to explain your bill. It's on, okay.
Good afternoon, Chair Burton, Vice Chair Grant, Ranking Member Durian, and members. I appreciate the opportunity to present CS for House Bill 701, Behavioral Healthcare Services Coverage and Access. Behavioral health refers to the promotion of mental health, resilience, and well-being, the treatment of mental and substance use disorders, and the support of those who experience or are recovering from those conditions. House Bill 701 would require insurers and HMOs to make the following information available on their website: the federal and state requirements for coverage of behavioral health care services, and contact information for the Division of Consumer Services of the department, including a hyperlink for consumers to submit inquiries or complaints related to their health insurer's products and services regulated by the office. The health insurer would also provide similar information annually in a written notice to their insureds. The bill also requires a January 31, 2022, that the department would submit a report to the governor, president of the Senate, and the Speaker of the House of Representatives relating to the disposition of complaints received by those covered by health insurance or health maintenance organizations that are regulated by the office during the prior calendar year. At a minimum, the report would include the total number of complaints received related to behavioral health services, the nature of those complaints, the disposition and the disposition of the complaints. They would also provide any recommendations by the department to the legislature for ensuring the access to and affordability of behavioral health care services to insured and subscribers. The effective date of the bill would be October 1, 2020. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. Members, do we have any questions? Okay, seeing no questions. Public testimony, we have one card. This is Amy Lyon, Florida Psychiatric Society, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate on the bill. Do we have any members who wish to debate the bill? Seeing no debate, Representative Stevenson, you're recognized to close on your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I just wanted to explain a little about the bill. I started working on this with our HHS staff a year ago. As a member of the Florida House, I've received numerous complaints about access to behavioral health services. Some of those complaints have been brought to me by mothers, fathers, sisters, and brothers years after the time when treatment is most likely to most fully restore the health of their loved ones. Some report that they or their family members were insured and sought services, but weren't able to access them when they needed them most. I've heard the stories of students dropping out of school, job loss, the breakup of family, imprisonment, and even loss of life attributed to the inability to access needed services. These constituents often lack detailed information as to who they contacted in their efforts to obtain needed services. House Bill 701 will help correct that. It will help our constituents understand the federal and state law and that protects their right to behavioral health care and to connect them with additional support through the Division of Consumer Services should they have difficulty accessing needed services through their insurance provider. The January 22, 2022 report by the department will help us gain a better understanding of challenges people experience accessing this care. And the report may also include recommendations that would help us ensure access and affordability of behavioral health care. I ask for your favorable support of House Bill 701. Thank you.
Cheryl, please call the roll on CS for HB 701 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Davis? Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Koster?
Yes.
Masullo?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Servoy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Representative Stevenson. All right, members, next we will move to House Bill 245 by Representative Cheney. Representative Cheney, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Grant, Ranking Member Duran, and members. The Practice Act for Massage defines the scope of practice for more than 38,000 licensed massage therapists practicing throughout the state of Florida. The Practice Act for Massage in Florida is out of date and does not accurately reflect the full scope of care provided by licensed massage therapists. The general statute has not been significantly updated in decades, yet the field of massage continues to progress. This bill expands the scope of the practice and better defines current massage therapy practices as follows. Updates the terminology to refer to the practice as massage therapy. Specifies that massage therapy is a healthcare practice in order to provide better clarification that massage therapy does not fall into the same classification as personal services such as hair and nail salons. That language is not an expansion of current law, as massage therapy is already included within the definition of healthcare practice, Florida Statute 456.001. The bill specifies that massage therapists may assess patients for the appropriate application of massage treatment and defines the word assessment. In order to prevent harm to a patient, massage therapists should assess for best outcomes. Regarding the addition of knee, the purpose of the addition of knee is intended to be inclusive regarding particular massage modalities such as osteotsu, shiatsu, Thai massage, certain stretching techniques, and many others. The knee can also be used for purposes of positioning the patient with orthopedic massage, sports massage, and neuromuscular massage. Utilizing the knee in positioning can allow for better access to certain muscle groups, as well as providing a function of stability for both the therapist and the patient. And that is the bill.
Thank you, Representative Cheney. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Cheney? Excuse me. Representative Masullo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative Cheney, thank you for your bill. Does your bill require any new requirements for licensure of current massage therapists?
It does not. However, the
Representative Cheney, you're
recognized. Excuse me, Madam Chair. Okay. Thank you. I get excited about the bill. There is some standard training for the use of the knee within the licensing of a massage therapist. However, if the board determines that the practice that you're doing, if you're going to be extensively using the knee, they will require you to do additional training as much as 30 hours.
Thank you.
Additional questions? Okay, seeing no additional questions, we have one card for public testimony. Anita Berry, Florida State Massage Therapy Association. Waves and support. Thank you, members. We're now in debate. Any members wishing to debate? Okay. Representative Cheney, would you like to close on your bill?
Wave close.
Cheryl, please call the roll on HB 245 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Harrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masulo?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
We'll now move to CS for HB 461 by Representative Trabulsi. Representative Trabulsi, you are recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, Vice Chair Grant, and Ranking Member Duran. I appreciate the opportunity to present HB 461 to you today. Some Medicare non-emergency ambulance transportation services are not being appropriately reimbursed based on a recent reinterpretation of the authorizing Medicaid payment statute. HB 461 solves this problem by updating and clarifying the statute to authorize Medicaid reimbursement for any Medicare-covered ambulance service, both emergency and non-emergency. This codifies the state's obligations and does not have a material impact on the Medicaid payments to health plans, and that chairs the bill.
Thank you. Members, do we have any questions for Representative Trabulsi? Okay, see no questions. We have one appearance card, which is Jennifer Ungrew for the Florida Ambulance Association. She waves in support. So now, members, we're in debate on the bill. Is there any debate on this bill? Representative Davis, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Chair, and thank you, Representative, for bringing this back. Thank you for contacting me. I appreciate this bill. I will definitely be supporting it today because, as we spoke, I have this issue happening to transportation ambulance company in my district as we speak. So thank you for the fix to them for bringing this bill and this brought to us today.
Additional debate? Okay, seeing no additional debate, Cheryl, would you please call the roll on CS for HB 461 and announce the vote? Excuse me. I forgot to ask you if you wanted to close. we're just moving along here this morning, Representative Wilson, and you did such a great quick job.
That thank I was you, Madam Chair. For you.
Would you like to close on your bill?
Yes, I'd like to wave close. Thank you.
Another quick move on your part. Thank you so much for that. Now, Cheryl, would you please call the roll on CS for HB 461?
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masulo?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
Show the bill reported favorably.
Thank you.
Okay, Representative Garrison, we're going to hear CS for HB 1057 by Representative Garrison.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
You're recognized to explain your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Members, as we know, Medicaid is the healthcare safety net for low-income Floridians. It's a federal and state partnership administered by ACA and financed by a combination of federal and state funds. HB 1057 seeks to ensure that Florida's Medicaid program continues to be administered efficiently and effectively by eliminating certain reporting requirements that have either become duplicative or outdated, by making non-substantive changes to existing administrative practices in order to keep us in line with federal regulations, by allowing for quicker responses to drug safety bulletins and medical necessity determinations, and by eliminating obsolete statutory language. There is no fiscal impact nor any change in services provided. Madam Chair, that is the bill.
Thank you, members. Do we have any questions for Representative Garrison? Okay, seeing no questions. There are no amendments. There is no public testimony. Now we're in debate. Members in debate on the bill. Okay, seeing no debate, Representative Garrison, would you like to close on your bill?
Wave closed, Chair.
Cheryl, please call the roll on CS for HB 1057 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Patana?
Yes.
Caruso? Davis?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masulo?
Yes.
Mello?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarborough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
19 yeas, 0 nays.
Thank you. Show the bill reported favorably. Now we have a non-committee member who's ready to present his bill, Representative Roach. We will now hear HB 905 by Representative Roach. Representative, you are recognized to present your bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Good afternoon, and Vice Chairman, Ranking Member, members of the committee. Madam Chair, with your permission, I'd first like to present the one amendment we have, which is barcode 478461.
Representative Roach, I think it'd be better if you present, this is not a strike-all amendment, if you would present your bill first.
Yes, ma'am, absolutely.
Thank you.
So House Bill 905 is a bill that deals with the PACE program here in Florida. So PACE programs currently operate in 8 counties, Lee, Collier, Charlotte, Miami-Dade, Broward, Palm Beach, Pinellas, and Duval counties. It's a holistic model of client care for those people older than 55 that are assessed for nursing home level care. What this bill does is it codifies the program in statute. Basically what we're doing in Proviso every year is now going to be codified in statute about the program. And that is the bill, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. Do we have any questions on the bill? Okay. Excuse me, do we have a question? Representative Rizzo, you're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, thank you. I do have one question pertaining through the section 72 through line 75. And what exactly is the unique and defined geographic service area? Is that the counties that you mentioned?
You're recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you for the question. So I believe that when these programs go through the approval process, they're actually drilled down to the zip codes, not necessarily individual counties, but zip codes within counties. And I understand what your question is related to about duplicative services and whether that would be excluded. And I can tell you that this bill is not going to have the effect of necessarily eliminating all duplicative services, but those duplicative services, if they are all services, will be determined by need. So if there's a population need, you could, in fact, still have different PACE operations that are serving, that may have some overlapping boundaries.
Thank you.
Thank you. Representative Rayner, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative, thank you for this bill. This bill actually does benefit my part of my district. I just have a question, just a clarifying question, especially for the folks at home. What's the intent behind codifying this program in statute?
You're recognized.
Well, I think that that the way we have been doing this sort of improviso language is not the best way to proceed. And I think this will help give some certainty and stability to the program. So not to mention it, it sort of locks in the program, right? Now the funding piece would be separate. It's not saying that everyone's gonna get funded to the extent that they want to be funded every year. But I think it does set up a framework for these PACE centers to be authorized. And I think the amendment speaks to that a little bit about putting ACA in a role to set some standards.
Thank you. Additional questions? Representative Davis, you're recognized for a question.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you, Rep. Roach. You mentioned funding, and you also mentioned the counties, the 8 counties that this program already operates. Is the funding coming from ACA? Is it a part of ACA's budget now? Because I realize that your bill doesn't have a fiscal to it.
You're recognized.
Yep. Thank you, Madam Chair. And Representative Davis, I'm sorry if I confused the issue, but no, this bill doesn't address funding. These programs would still have to come to the legislature to get funding. This bill doesn't really touch that. This is more about the authorization of the programs rather than funding. So it doesn't have any impact on the funding of these organizations.
Additional questions, members? We have an amendment by Representative Roach. It is barcode 478461. Representative Roach, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment just adds three words to line 17. The current bill says that all PACE organizations must meet specific quality and performance standards established by CMS for the PACE program. This amendment would simply add the word state administering agency to line 17, which would refer to ACA. That is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. Other questions on the amendment? See no questions. We have no public testimony. We'll show the amendment. Excuse me. Right. We'll show the amendment adopted without objection. We are now on public testimony on the. Oh, I'm sorry. Questions on the bill as amended. No questions on the bill as amended. Now we're on public testimony on the bill. We have Matt Hudson, Florida PACE Providers Association. Good morning, or I guess it's afternoon now. You are recognized.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, members of the committee, for your attention and thoughtful questions to this bill. My name is Matt Hudson, and I'm the executive director of a very small association in Florida, the Florida PACE Providers Association. I'm here to answer any questions you may have about the PACE model of care in general. Representative Rizzo, to your question, when a PACE provider decides to become a PACE provider in Florida, when they make the application process to ACA and CMS, they are required to identify certain zip codes that they want to serve. When they do that, they also have to show the demonstrated need within those zip codes. And CMS rightly goes through a process that, well, I don't know if I would say rightly, but it takes about a year. And they dig deep to determine whether or not there is a demonstrated need. And so overlapping service areas get approved by CMS. It's already in five other states in the country where they look at a zip code and say, hey, yeah, it's appropriate to have another provider there. So hopefully that clarifies that. Representative Rayner, you asked about why is the need to put this in statute? Somebody that wants to become a PACE provider in Florida comes to Florida with really no rule book to go by. They can't look for PACE in statute to give them a guideline. They can't really go to the agency and see rules promulgated because there is no statute. And so they're kind of winging it, to be honest. They come to the legislature and say, hey, authorize us to become a PACE program. Well, that's not necessarily the best way to do it. You want to know that that organization is viable. You want to know that they are appropriately funded and so forth. And so this sets a mechanism in place to allow them to work through that process. Representative Davis, you asked about the financial piece. The financial piece comes later. There's a great inherent risk for a program to want to be a program. They have to come to you and get authorized. They've got to go through the process of setting up a three-way party agreement between themselves, ACA, and CMS. And then, after all that is done, after they've expended all that money, after they've built a location, after they've hired their staff, then they come back to the legislature and say, hey, we need funding to be able to start our program. And so there's a great inherent risk in that, and that's why having some certainty on the front end in terms of knowing the process will help folks be able to get through that process. And so, Madam Chair, thank you for your time and allowing me to add a little bit of technical support.
Thank you. Thank you, Mr. Hudson. We have Alejandro Gonzalez with United Way of Broward County. Waves in support. Members, we are now in debate on the bills. Do we have any debate? Okay. Seeing no debate, Representative Roach, you're recognized. Excuse me. We do have debate. Representative Davis, you're recognized in debate.
Just briefly. Thank you, Chair. Just listening to the questions, and I want to thank Mr. Hudson for coming up and giving that technical information that helped a lot. I'm in a stance where, having been exposed to things being codified in law, programming specifically, and we're dealing with the Florida Coalition of Domestic Violence and how that's kind of reeking through the state and how we're dealing with that and that blemish that we're dealing with. So I have a issue, a challenge with codifying programming in the statute. But because this doesn't have a financial piece to it now, does not mean it won't be a financial piece to it that's also codified in law later on. So I just want us to be mindful of things that we're always codifying in law when it comes to programming. I'm going to support this bill today, because it seems like this program has to have, for lack of a better term, some skin in the game to be able to be set up and to perform. But I want us to be mindful of those pieces that when we put programming into law, statute, there's always going to be that financial piece. And we have a tendency, and history has told us, that we get in trouble by codifying programming with appropriations in law. So again, with that, I'm going to support it. And I encourage my colleagues to support it today as well. But I just want us to be mindful of that. Thank you, Rep. Roach.
Representatives, any additional debate on the bill? Okay, see no additional debate. Representative Roach, would you like to close on your bill?
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, former representative and former chairman, Matt Hudson, for bailing me out there and offering a much more detailed explanation than I had. I appreciate the support. I just want to give you a quick procedural on the bill. This bill has cleared every committee last session unanimously and passed off the floor unanimously, has cleared every committee this session so far unanimously. And I just want to address Representative Davis that there's not anything in here that locks in any recurring funding. And, you know, we have many programs that are codified that don't get funding. So the legislature would still have the power to authorize funding or not. And with that, Madam Chair, I ask for your support and I close on the bill.
Thank you, Cheryl. Would you please call the roll on HB 905 and announce the vote?
Representatives Benjamin?
Yes.
Botana?
Yes.
Caruso?
Yes.
Davis?
Yes.
Duran?
Yes.
Garrison?
Yes.
Grant?
Yes.
Coster?
Yes.
Masullo?
Yes.
Miller?
Yes.
Persons Malika?
Yes.
Rayner?
Yes.
Rizzo?
Yes.
F. Robinson?
Yes.
W. Robinson?
Yes.
Saroy?
Yes.
Skidmore?
Yes.
Tant?
Yes.
Yarbrough?
Yes.
Chair Burton?
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So the bill reported favorably as amended.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. All right, members, next we have CS for HB 117 by Representative Tant. You are recognized to explain the bill.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you for committee members and colleagues for hearing this bill today. This bill has already passed Children and Families in the House and requires the Agency for Persons with Disabilities to create a roadmap for every person with a disability and their family, whether or not they are Med waiver served or waitlist eligible, listing existing state resources that should be explored in order to achieve the maximum outcome for their loved ones' lives. This listing includes VR, or vocational rehab, which provides job training services, information about the ABLE program, which helps families with financial planning, Social Security disability information, for school-aged children, information about school district services and transition services, which literally change the trajectory of our loved ones' lives, including career technical and collegiate instruction available through the Florida Center for Students with Unique Abilities, and finally, decision-making options for people that are provided under Florida law. The bill requires APD to provide referral tools and hyperlinks to applicants with the disclosure that each service has its own eligibility requirement and that there is no guarantee of eligibility pursuant to providing this information. And that, Madam Chair, is the bill.
Thank you, members. Do we have any questions on the bill? Okay, seeing no questions, we have one amendment, which is by Representative Williams, that Representative Tant will present. Its amendment barcode 774463. Representative Tant, you are recognized to explain the amendment.
Thank you, Madam Chair. This amendment just requires APD to publish this same resource information on its website, as well as to provide this information to families on the wait list as well in their annual contact. So that is the amendment, Madam Chair.
Thank you, members. Are there any questions on the amendment? Any public testimony on the amendment? Show the amendment adopted without objection. We're now back on the bill as amended. Are there any questions? All right, no questions. We have little public testimony. Adam Roberts, Florida Mental Health Advocacy Coalition. Mr. Roberts is a proponent. Tracy Strecker, Florida PTA. Waves in support, thank you. And Adam Strecker, waves in support. Members, we're now in debate. Debate on the bill. Representative Rayner, you're recognized in debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Representative Tamp, for this very, very good bill. You and I have had very long conversations about the need for this bill, about the crisis that APD is actually in, and the crisis in actually serving our families here in this state. And you've shared with me your personal story of your family. So I am proud to support this bill. I'm proud to vote up on this bill. Thank you for bringing this bill and really working the heck out of this bill this session to make sure that it gets heard and to make sure our families, the families that need this support the most in this state, have an ability to get the support they need. So I thank you for that, and I encourage all members to vote up on this bill.
Representative Rizzo, you're recognized to debate.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Representative, once again, thank you so much for bringing this issue up and supporting some of our neediest citizens in the state of Florida. Transition is just one of those terms that a lot of people don't understand, and it is critical in the lives of the people that we're serving to help. So thank you very much, and I look forward to voting up on this bill.
Additional debate? Okay, seeing none, Representative Tamp, would you like to close on your bill?
I waive close. Thank you.
Cheryl, please call the roll on CS for HB 117 and announce the vote.
Representatives Benjamin.
Honored to be the first to say yay.
Botana.
Yes.
Caruso.
Yes.
Davis.
Yes.
Duran.
Yes.
Garrison.
Yes.
Grant.
Yes.
Coster.
Yes.
Masullo.
Yes.
Mello.
Yes.
Persons Malika.
Yes.
Rayner.
Yes.
Rizzo.
Yes.
F. Robinson.
Yes.
W. Robinson.
Yes.
Cervulli.
Yes.
Skidmore.
Yes.
Tant.
Yes.
Yarbrough.
Yes.
Chair Burton.
Yes.
20 yeas, 0 nays.
So the bill reported favorably. Congratulations. Members, this concludes our agenda for today. I hope you anticipate, as well as I do, busier meetings moving forward, as a lot of bills are coming through the subcommittees all across the House and will be landing with us very soon. Thank you for your careful attention, obvious preparation for the meeting with great questions, and clearly you've spoken to some of the bill sponsors and they've spoken to you. I appreciate that. So this concludes our committee agenda, and I think Representative Botana moves we rise. Without objection, the meeting is adjourned.